Okay, so perils of wearing a dress like this is there's nowhere to put the handheld mic. But that's okay. There's nowhere to put the other little mic. So had to use handhold. But it'll be fine. It'll be absolutely fine. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. So if you've got your Bibles or if you've got a device that you have a Bible on, could we turn to that together just now? We're going to read the first 33 verses. And this is one of the accounts that we have in the Gospels of the birth of Jesus. So it says this: at the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Then if we skip to verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you for this time of year. We thank you for this incredible story of how you sent your son to be born into this world as a baby for us. And Father, tonight as we think through and we unpack a little bit more of this passage, Father, would we know you revealing something fresh to us tonight, a fresh revelation of who you are and what this means. In your name, amen. So I have three children, Grace, who is 9, Josh, who is almost 7, and Zoe, who is 3. And Zoe, this would be her third Christmas. But really, although she's had 2 Christmases previously, this is the Christmas where everything is real for her, where she understands Santa, where she understands the lights, the trees, where she understands and is hearing songs for the first time. She's learning some traditional Christmas songs like Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, as along with some others not so familiar to me before of, you know, I'm a Little Snowman or Have You Ever Had a Penguin Come for Tea, for her little Christmas kind of performance that they're going to do as a nursery for parents. And we've been rehearsing these, and she was singing to me the ones I didn't really know, and then I would join in, oh, let's do Jingle Bells. And she looked at me with just wide-eyed astonishment. Mummy, how do you know that song? Because for her, this is the first time it's all been opened up to her. The first time she's really experiencing it. Tonight, as we drove back from a Christmas party this afternoon, she said, can we go and see the lights? Because she is just astounded by how beautiful and how incredible they are. Last night and the night before, as we prayed with her before she went to sleep, and as we read the nativity story in her little children's Bible, and we encouraged her to pray, and her prayer was, Father God, thank you for sending baby Jesus and for how much he loves us. And I have to say that as a mum, I'm totally blown away by seeing her excitement, by seeing Christmas come to life again. Because although I'm someone who loves Christmas, anybody who knows me well will know that I love the lights, I love getting the house decorated. I'm a bit sad that we don't have a real Christmas tree this year because of going away, and that has been resolved slightly by a wooden Christmas tree, which looks very pretty. If you'd ever like to see it, I can show you a picture. But I love anything to do with Christmas, and I love the carols and carols by candlelight that we have in this church. But if I'm honest, sometimes some of the story of what God actually did in sending his son into this world for us is a wee bit lost. It kind of fades into the background of the stuff, of the present buying, of the wrapping, of the lights, of the excitement of seeing my kids' faces when they get what they want on Christmas morning, or what they'd been hoping for. And I think tonight, and as I was preparing for this, God wants us, like Zoe, to come at this with fresh eyes this year. He wants us to put aside the traditional view that we often have. He wants us to set aside our thoughts of, well, I've heard it before, it's meaningless, or it's a bit unimportant, I've got more things that I need to do. And I think he wants us to be astounded again. In verse 7, it says, she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Mary and Joseph were probably in their teens. Mary and Joseph had angels come to them individually to tell them that what was happening was of God. And they were willing to accept that. They were willing to put aside their worries, their fears, and to completely trust God on this. And they got to Bethlehem, probably after a very long and a very uncomfortable journey, I would imagine, for Mary. And there is nowhere for them to stay. They hadn't been able to maybe plan ahead and get somewhere booked, because obviously they would have been treated like outcasts, because the circumstances preceding their marriage were not ideal. And they arrive, and there's nowhere for them, except for what we imagine to be something like a stable, somewhere that the animals would have been kept. And yet, there's no indication that they complained. There's no indication that they were annoyed. They continued to trust. They continued to adapt willingly. They continued to know that God was for them, and that they would use the resources that he had sent to hand for them to use. But this idea of no room, when I thought about that, We've heard that so much. It's the nice little twist in the story almost, you know, oh, there was no room, but God gave them this little stable. And yet when I think about my attitude to Christmas sometimes, I leave no room. I leave no room for Jesus. I leave no room or very little space for the reality of what he did through his son. Often it doesn't have an impact on me. And when we think about, they laid him in a manger, essentially an animal's feeding trough or an animal food store, as Zoe would call it. He was the King of Kings, Messiah, the chosen one, the promised one. And yet he was put in a place completely undeserving or unworthy of his status. But what about us this year? Are we so consumed by the planning, by the gift buying, by the asking for the things that we are desperately hoping for, that outside of a Sunday in the build-up to Christmas, and outside of possibly going to a carol service, actually, if we're honest, we're leaving no room for the person that this whole season is about. I've spent time the last couple of weeks with friends, friends from church, friends from outside of church, and every single one of them, and generally it's women, because I think they're the ones who generally do all the planning, I think, guys. But generally, every one of those women that I've spent time with have said, I'm so stressed. I feel so anxious. I wake up and I'm thinking about lists, and I've got this to do, and I'd planned to do this, and I'm not going to have time. And there just seems to be all this stress and anxiety about Christmas and about food buying and preparing and spending time with people that actually we leave no room for Jesus. We squeeze him out. And I think this evening, God wants us to put him back where he needs to be. And that's right in the center of our Christmas. He should be the first, not the added extra. He should be the one that we are most concerned about, not the presents that we haven't yet purchased. Maybe it's been a wee bit easier for me this year because we're going away. So I felt a little bit, relieved, I guess, because we've obviously told the children, well, this is part of our Christmas present, is going to America to spend time with their uncle and to have lots of nice memories that we can create when we're there. Doesn't mean that they won't get something, but, you know, we haven't really then asked them to write a big list. They've asked for one thing each. They're very quite small things. And two of them we've needed to purchase because one of them in particular needs like a British plug, and the wattage and voltage thing in the States is obviously different. So we wanted to get it here and take it with us. But the rest of the stuff, we thought we'll get when we're there. We'll get small things when we're there. And it's been incredible to just feel like I'm not having to buy into this, go into the Thistle Centre and panic buying or thinking about that big food shop. And it's allowed me to have a bit more space this Christmas. But in that, in understanding what it must have felt like for Mary and Joseph to know there was no room for them and no room for this baby, God's son, it's challenged me to think about how I can create more room this season. Then when we look at verse 9 and verse 16, we hear about the shepherds. When we first see the shepherds in verse 9, we see they were terrified. They were fearful. They were out minding their own business. They were looking after the sheep that had been entrusted to them by the owners of these flocks. They were poor, ordinary men earning a living, minding their business, and the heavens just light up with these angels. It must have been incredible. They were petrified. But verse 16, we see that their fear has alleviated. That actually in verse 16, we hear they hurried. They wasted no time. Their fear, when they encountered God, completely changed to joy. And because of what was revealed to them, and because of what they heard, they had a desperation to get to Bethlehem. They wanted to see this king for themselves. They wanted to witness firsthand what the angels had declared to them. And I was challenged when I read that. Thinking, when was the last time that I had that same joy? Or that same sense of desperation and hurry to witness about what God's done for me? When was the last time that you and I were so desperate to see God at work in the lives of the people that we work with, that we go to uni with, that we go to school with, that we live next door to, that we actually were prompted to talk to them about God? And when I saw that, I thought, yeah, probably there's a chance that I have squeezed God out at times and I've left no room. But I think part of that is because actually I've lost some of the joy that I had. Some of that joy when I first perhaps knew Jesus, when I first came into that relationship with him. I'm sure all of you have heard the brilliant news about Rob and Lisa and their fantastic engagement. And I know that when I heard that news, I was so joyful. It was some of the best news that I think I could possibly have heard in the last 10 days, without a doubt. But yet sometimes that sense of joy that I can have with friends and celebrating, I don't share that same joy in my faith and my trust in God with others. Often I'm happy to have those conversations about the holidays that we're planning or the great exam results or the good reports that my kids have had or the general chit-chat that we can make with our neighbours on doorsteps. But that actually, that joy that should be fundamental to all that I am is often the last thing that I would be wanting to share with them. And so in the midst of us maybe not having room or not creating room, I want us to think, is that because perhaps we have lost some of that joy, some of that excitement that the shepherds had? And then when we look at Mary and Joseph had then to go to present Jesus in the temple because that was part of the order of things in that day. And we read of Simeon. And we read of the prophecy that he spoke, those words that he spoke as he held that baby and as he looked at Mary and Joseph and as they stood. And previously we see in verse 19 that Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them. And we see again in verse 33 that she and Joseph were amazed, they were astounded, they marveled at what was said about their son. And I was really struck again by the sense of how their faith was unswerving at that point. You know, they must have, some of the words that Simeon spoke, they must have marveled over and find it difficult to comprehend some of the things that he was saying about their son. Their world had been turned completely upside down. The order of things, as they had intended, had become chaotic. And yet they were both still willing to trust and accept and follow the plan that God had for them. They didn't doubt. And I felt like in the midst of this festive season, where we are building up to celebrating Jesus' birth, and when we're thinking about whether or not we are creating space for him, whether or not we are sharing the joy that that has brought and should be bringing to our lives, I felt like God was saying that also this time of year allows us to reflect back, to think about what's happened over the course of these last 11 and a half months. And Mary and Joseph were standing with a fairly newborn baby, hearing incredible words of prophecy spoken. And they marveled. They were astounded. They were amazed, and they trusted. They never doubted. And when we look back at events in our last few months, there may well be times when some of us have felt out of control, where we felt like our lives have been chaotic. Perhaps like Mary and Joseph would have felt when those angels came and shared the news that they had been chosen as the parents, the earthly parents of the Messiah. When their order of things had been completely turned on its head. And there have probably been times for individuals here tonight that things have been turned on their head this year. But yet, what has your reaction been? Have you, like Mary and Joseph, faced things head on with a confidence and a peace that can come only from God? Or have there been times when you've chosen to completely ignore the reality of him in your life and instead tried to deal with things in your own way and in your own time? Mary and Joseph's lives that first Christmas were never, ever the same again. People would have viewed them differently. People would have treated them differently. Their families would have looked at them differently. And yet their confidence was in God. Their confidence was in their Maker, the person who had promised them that this child that they were going to raise was destined for something greater. And yet for us, so often, we don't live in that reality. We pay lip service at this time of year to, it's great, we're celebrating Jesus' birth. But the reality is that we squeeze him out Monday through Saturday. We leave just a small amount of space or time, perhaps, when really he demands more and he should have more. Perhaps tonight you're sitting and maybe you need to have that joy restored. Maybe, like the shepherds, you need to once again be able to go with excitement into this season, and excitement to tell others. Or maybe things have been chaotic for you and continue to be. And maybe that's through choices that you've made, or choices, the consequences of choices of others. And maybe tonight you need to come and bring those things to God. And you need to let him restore some of that order instead of trying to deal with things yourself. In a few minutes, I'm going to let you see a poem, a monologue, a guy who does other stuff with the spoken word. It's called Santa versus Jesus. But I hope that as we reflect on it, as we then go into some worship, that actually it gives us an opportunity to perhaps think about what our perspective really is this Christmas. Are we going to leave no room for the one who Christmas is actually all about? Are you and I going to be so busy that he becomes an afterthought? Tonight, do you truly have a hunger and a desperation to see this baby who grew to be a man, who died an incredibly painful and horrific death and rose again for us to have freedom and new life? Are we hungry and desperate and joyful to share that with others? Perhaps there are things tonight that we need to bring to God, things that are hurting us, things that we need to repent from, things that actually we recognize are not in the correct order. And tonight, as we look at this story of how God took two very ordinary, very simple people, but chose them for something extraordinary, and managed to transform what looked chaotic from the outside to others into something incredibly powerful and beautiful and organized. He had it under his control. Are we prepared to give some of our things to him tonight? I've been, this last 2 weeks of Advent, 24/7 prayer as a movement, as an organization, normally do an Advent series and a Lent series for Christians to kind of follow, to ponder over. And this year's Advent series is called Selah, which means to pause. And the verses that we are looking at are simply Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And each day there's a 60-second video. It takes so little time, allowing us to think and pause for a few seconds about what those verses in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 really mean. And just before we watch the short video, I just want to read those verses. And I just want us to think tonight that the truth that was prophesied in Isaiah, that we see the fulfillment of in Luke 2, is it the fact that you've no room tonight? Is it the fact that you've no joy? Or is it that actually you need to ponder and reflect on things that you need to put right tonight? For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. We're going to watch this short video and we're going to move into a time of worship. And although we don't have any official prayer ministry team available tonight, I guess there will be some of us around that if anyone tonight felt that they wanted to come forward for prayer, please feel free to do that. You might want to come to the front or to the sides, and someone will come and pray with you. I'd really encourage you to do that. Don't miss this chance to perhaps allow someone to pray with you, to maybe see that joy restored tonight.